It's not that they tell you that you can do anything. They never tell you. They make you feel like it. You feel like you can be kind of like a kid wonder, like, and you can do whatever you want.
This is Studio Confessions, the art and wellness podcast. Listen in as artists and culture makers come clean to share their journey and tell us what moves them. Let me share my wax poetic monologues and point of view to welcome inspiration and live a more beautiful life. That's right, I said beautiful. Welcome to the studio. I'm glad you're here. Hola, Esteban. How are you?
Hey, Luis.
So good to see you again.
Yeah. This is the second time that we do this.
Amazing. I really needed to sit with you because you are part of a, let's call it a dynasty here in Mérida. What is this? What are we talking about here?
I'm part of a family that owns a brand and store and like a whole around way of thinking that is called Doña Y.
Which is kind of like the Hello Kitty of Mexico.
Yeah, it's for sure the Hello Kitty of Mexico.
Yeah, let's get that clear.
The Hola Gatito.
Exactly.
You know? So, for those of your audience that don't know what Doña Y is, am I...
You have a little aunt. We're in Mexico.
It doesn't matter. So I'm in Mexico, so I have some insects
on his hand. And also,
it comes back. Like, it doesn't matter.
There may not be wine on the table. Continue.
Yeah, there's wine on my system that is more important than if it's or it's not on the table.
There we go.
So yeah, for those of your audience that don't know, like, you can refer to a previous podcast.
That's right.
But it's a brand that basically it takes like the roots of what makes Yucatán Yucatán, which is like mainly a lot of Mayan culture, some Spanish culture, and all this mingled around for centuries.
Amazing.
And you get like what we get in Yucatán, you know? It gets this and tries to elevated, like this culture is like the core of everybody that lives here. Like you breathe it, you know. But it's often that you don't give it like the importance that it has. So usually you see it exemplified in some kind of art or some kind of jokes or. You know, like it's just misuse, you know,
more like a caricature.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of something.
Yeah. It's right. Misuse is not the right word. It's a caricature. I think you're right. So, what we're trying to do with the brand is basically elevate this culture to, you know, the status it should have because people breathe it, people use it, people live it like every day. At the store that, as we were talking previously, it's more like a house for everybody that wants to go.
It's literally called La Casa de
Doña
Y.
The house of Doña Y, and you can see Doña Y seated here.
You called it a store earlier, and I was like, wait, a store? Oh, that's right. It's a store.
Yeah.
It's not a house. But it feels like a house. Now, really quick, and if dear listener, you listen to previous podcasts, you'll hear that it's actually, Doña Y is the result of a love story, right?
Yeah.
Your father created it to celebrate and understand his wife, who is from Mérida, her culture. And he is from Colombia, correct?
Yeah.
So you are half Colombian.
I'm half Colombian and half Mexican. And I'm kind of jealous because, you know, I know that Doña Y is the product of a love story. And I'm not completely certain that I'm not just a mistake, you know? So, I know my sisters.
So, who was on the podcast?
Yeah.
Who we love and adore. Yes. Dear listeners, please pause this. Go get yourself a glass of wine because clearly this has become something else.
Yeah.
Unpause here. So you left Mexico and Colombia and you were in Toronto for a while.
Yeah. Like when I was 14, we came to Mexico. My dad actually came to Mexico when he was younger to study art. And he just fell in love of the Mexican culture and he fell in love of a Mexican woman.
He studied art here in Mérida?
In Mexico City, wow. In La Esmeralda. That it's like, it sounds really nice when
it's
you say it in Spanish,
right?
Yeah. Esmeralda.
The emerald.
Yeah, yeah, the emerald. It doesn't have the
same.
No,
it doesn't.
My dad came here, went to Mexico City to study in La Esmeralda, and he has like this... can I have a segue here?
Yes, please.
Yeah, like there's a really, like, I love this story because he was a starving artist. Like he was in starving art, and he didn't have enough money for food, you know. So he lived in these dilapidated rooms, and there was a guy that, like, a really weird guy that lived across the hallway, you know? And once he had, like, extra rice, and he knocked at his door and said, like, hey, I have some extra food, you want some? And the guy came to his, like, tiny apartment, and they start talking and talking and talking. And the next week, like, this guy says, like, Javier, do you want to eat something? And he was like, yeah. Do you have some rice? And he's like, no. Get dressed. We're going out. And like these two guys that look like, you know, like waste for, you know, keeping it PG. They go to a restaurant, and it's an expensive restaurant. The kinds my dad hasn't seen in years now. And he start, like, the guy goes, like, okay, get what you want. And it's like, okay, I want this and this and this, and I can, but I don't have to anything to pay this with. And he's like, no, get some more. And it's like, oh, what's going on? I'm eating. Like, I have to eat for, like, I know I'm not going to eat for the next 2 months, so I have to eat. You know, so he eats and eats and eats, and after he finishes, he's like, how are we going to pay for this? And the guy is like, he gets his wallet, and it's like American Express and a bunch of credit cards that, you know, my dad had never seen. And he's like, okay, this one, and that's it. Like, they leave. And this guy is like the heir to like the biggest chain of library stores in Mérida, in Yucatán. In one of these stores, my mom was working as a clerk.
No way.
So yeah, he gets my dad here to visit, and he meets my mom. Yeah, you didn't know that.
I love that.
That's a great story.
Oh,
that,
my goodness.
That's a firstborn story. My sisters can tell you that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it only gets better. I mean, the more
it's magical realism. Like,
it's like an onion. It has so many layers. You know, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, I guess that's how this happens, right? Because it's a family business. You all kind of work together in a weird way, but you yourself have your own private company.
Yeah, yeah, I have my private company.
And your partner is?
My partner is. My parents are a really good guy. Like, he's a great guy.
Who happens to be married to?
The granddaughter of Armando Manzanero. So Armando
Manzanero. I was thinking of your sister. So it gets even better.
Yeah,
so,
it gets really, like, this thing gets thick and then gets deep.
Oh, my God. So yeah. For those who don't know, Armando Manzanero was a singer.
Oh, this guy invented love.
Talk about magic realism. He invented love.
Yeah, no. Love was non-existent and non-defined before this guy, you know?
But you also work with your sister's husband.
I also work with my sister's husband. Like, this guy is a machine. This guy, I love this guy. And he's, like, one of the best employees / brothers-in-law that you can ask for. So yeah, like I'm gonna stop here because I don't have like enough time to say enough good things about this
guy.
I
mean, dear listener, obviously we are trying to unravel a whole knot of family-ness that's really beautiful. I'm super excited to hear that this can happen. Really,
yeah.
I want children just to be like Doña Y, and because you and your siblings. manage the logistical aspect of the business. Yeah, is that right? What role do you play in that?
Oh, I play like a tiny role. I just do like mainly emotional support. No, I
through animation.
mostly like a like I have a like let's call it stock is like actions. Like I don't know how you call it. Like stock is not the term, but it's kind of like
you
that.
Have a share.
Like a share, yeah. I have a share in the company. So I'm at the meetings and when we're talking and we have like our share meetings, like shareholder meetings. Like basically, I try to give some input in the store, like the family business. I try to be like an outside observer and try to be neutral enough between all these people that I love to give my best input to get the business moving forward and to get it to keep the business doing what it does best, you know?
I think you're downplaying it. I also see that there's another level to Dunya Y, and I saw that she had a CG cartoon and it was just mind-blowing.
Yeah,
tell me about
there's
this.
Okay, like, well, my business is a CG animation studio. You know, when I was really young, I left this amazing family because I was an ungrateful teenager.
You have to.
Yeah. I hate everything, you
exactly.
know. So I had to go.
You had to leave paradise.
Yeah.
To come back.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I went. I saved some money. Like when I was a kid, I picked up this thing with the CGI. Animation, and I started. I made a school when I was 17, and I taught this thing to architects, and I made a bunch of money.
One minute. You started a school when you were 17. What? I'm always curious. What gave you that? Like, yeah, I could do that. What gives somebody that?
Well, like
courage,
a tight family. Like really, like it's. All comes in a bundle, you know, like it's not a coincidence. Like I have these amazing parents that just it's not that they tell you that you can do anything. They never tell you. It's just like they make you feel like it, you know, so you feel like you can be kind of like a kid wonder, like, and you can do whatever you want. So when I was a kid, I was into a bunch of stuff, and I learned a bunch of languages, and I really like doing carpentry and stuff like that. And I went into CGI because my dad had this software that was called a Painter, and he had like one of the first digital tablets that there was, and with the pamphlet of this software came some CGI stuff, and I fell in love with it, and I started like trying to learn it, and I learned English to learn that thing, you know.
To learn the pamphlet to create.
Yeah, because you know, like we're talking sure. about a time where internet wasn't as reliable. There
you couldn't
wasn't
YouTube it.
No, you couldn't YouTube it. Like,
P.S., I just learned how to swim YouTubing. So
no way!
I did.
No,
amazing.
If you had told me, I would have told you.
Thank you, but I have YouTube.
Okay.
But continue.
Okay. So yeah, like...
Teaching me how to do CGI, then we're in business.
okay. No, we have to do the charcoal drawing thing.
I'm telling you... Dear listeners, we're going to do an event.
Yeah.
Live drawing, nude model, come join.
Yeah, live drawing, comma, nude model. Not live drawing, nude, comma, model.
Wine and mezcal, possibly sponsored by La Casa Casa.
Of course.
At any rate, so that's amazing. I love hearing that because I really do think that at the end of the day, having strong bonds with your family,
oh man, like
it really makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, I remember one winter that I was working in Toronto. I was making good money and it was on the up on my career, but it was freaking cold and it was dark after 3 p.m. Like I was depressed. So I called my dad, and he was like a concerned father. Like I was telling him, like, hey, you know what? I don't know if I can do this much longer. And he was like, no, you have to keep it. Like, you're doing good. And I was like, yeah, but I don't know if I'm happy. And he was like, yeah, but it's yeah. Like, he didn't know exactly what to tell me. And I asked him, like, are you happy? He's like, yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, you do what makes you happy. So, yeah, we hung up. And after that, I moved to Montreal. That made me a lot happier, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I like Montreal way better than Toronto. I mean, Toronto is beautiful, and I love it, but Montreal is way more Latin. Like,
it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's so funny. I have a very distinct memory of going to Montreal, and it was very cold, and somebody asked me for directions, and I thought, oh, maybe I look a little local. And the woman who asked me in French with a very thick Spanish accent.
Oh, I was like, Spanish. I was like, a big Quebecois accent.
No. I'm like, ¿hablas español? She's like, pero soy cubana.
I was like, okay. So the accent was for the Cuban, not for the...
Right. I felt so like, wow, what a small world. So what made you leave Canada at the end of the day?
Basically, it was a mixture of a lot of factors. Like, I was doing well, but I was smelling trouble because it was 2008. Mm-hmm. And there was like the mortgage crash in the US, you know, the mortgage packages and Canadian dollar went higher for a while than US dollar, and a lot of Canada's business in my area is basically like getting some profit from the low rate of the Canadian dollar. So yeah, like people were getting fired right and left, and I said like, okay, I have my work permit. I can get some vacations. I haven't taken a vacation in a while. Last time I saw my father, for the first time, I saw like a lot of gray hair and stuff, and I'm gonna visit my family. And I came to visit, and then I went to Chile and Argentina, and. When I came back, I just started delaying my return, and delaying it, and at some point I just gave away all my books and belongings and the guitar and the everything, and my wife is today like really mad about that, at some point I said to the friend that was subletting the apartment, like, man, do you want to keep it, like, with everything that is there? And he was like, yeah, I would very much like to. And I was like, okay, bye-bye. And I started building a life in Mérida. I met my business partner, and we didn't click right away, but there was, like, a drunken night where we met by chance in a pub here in Mérida, and we started talking because there wasn't anyone else to talk to. So we were in the bar and we were talking one to the other, and like we just clicked and we started working together, and he couldn't be more different to me. Like, he's just like an amazing person and I love him to death, but he's really different to me.
Like, and that's so important. I think when people, especially when creatives become entrepreneurs and go into business, they think, oh, we should all, you know, have the same values, and we should all, I don't know, maybe be a little bohemian, maybe be a little bit more creative. But when it goes into the entrepreneur world, it's a totally different ballgame, isn't it?
It's a different ballgame.
How is your difference a good thing?
Okay. You think? So Carlos is a very practical person. Like,
which is very important.
No, it's so important because I'm not. So you can see it in like all the decisions that I've narrated here today.
Like drinking red wine with white wine. Continue.
Oh yeah, before going for Korean.
Yeah, that's right. So dear listeners, we're going to Korean after this. Please join us.
Yeah. You should come to Mérida. We have Korean, we have Thai, we have everything. So,
don't come.
Oh, now you.
I went it off of myself. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So yeah. Carlos is a very practical person. His grandfather, like his mom, who I absolutely love, says that he's a mirror of his grandfather. And his grandfather had like the first ice factory in Yucatan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is an important thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like Gabriel Garcia Marquez narrated it like almost as a protagonist in Cien Años de Soledad, 100 Years of Solitude.
Yeah. Correct.
Like there's like this passage of the ice because like controlling the ice, being able to make ice, like come on. Like here that it's like...
Gold. It's almost like gold, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We are 2 meters from the sun, so it's like really, really, really cold, really important to have ice, you know? So he had like this ice factory, and he was like a big businessman, and when he just died, like Carlos's uncle had to deal with the devaluation of the peso, which was the loss of fortunes here. Like basically, if you had 200 pesos, now you had, I think, 2 pesos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This happened.
Oh my god.
Like yeah, like we can talk about it later. Like it was horrible.
What year is this?
This was 94.
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 94 or 96, I think. So yeah, this was horrible. The company went under, and now the factory like doesn't exist. But Carlos inherited like this sense of entrepreneurship, and I remember asking him like 7 years ago, so what did you want to do after college? And he said like having my own businesses. Like, what do you think? Like, so yeah, he has like this mind frame. But we were really young. We were 24, about to be turned 25. We were both the same age. He's older. He looks way older than me.
Being a little bit more practical.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the fact that you said that he inherited a sense of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, of course.
Because we think of inheritance as objects, as money.
No, man. Like,
but just as important are these tendencies, right?
Yeah,
the tendency to be nice, to be an addict, to be whatever.
Yeah, of course.
We inherit these things as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and it's nature and nurture, you know? Like, it's both. Like,
right.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure there was part of his DNA that was just like wired the right way for this kind of stuff. But for sure, like, there's a big part that it's him spending time and looking up to his grandfather. Like, he was a role model for him. So
sure.
He became like this guy. Like, right now, like, Carlos is doing very well for himself, and he has investments in all kind of stuff. So he has this mindset. He has this entrepreneurship, and he's like a very interesting guy. Like, you will love to meet him.
I would love to meet him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell me, what has been one of the biggest lessons that you've learned from him? You being a creative person, an
okay.
artist.
So yeah, like I'm digressing. I digress. Like, I feel that I've grown so much with Carlos because me being a creative person and a person that is prone to follow his impulses and follow like his passions.
Like many artists.
Yeah, exactly.
An artistic tendency, right?
I mean, like it must happen to you, you know?
Oh.
Like, yeah, sometimes you don't do what is profitable or what is good for even you or your family or whatever. Like, you do what just calls you, you know? Mm. Like, okay, I want to experiment, I want to create, I want to do this, I want
stay
to
stay another month in Merida.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I can understand that. I stay like I was having like a perfectly fine life in Canada. Like, I came here just because you can have like a really big house with a few dogs.
Shh,
you know?
Don't tell people. And there's ice.
And there's like now more ice than you can know what to do with.
Put in your Starbucks cup.
So yeah, like basically. I have these tendencies, you know, and I have like this profile, like this artist profile. And Carlos has an entrepreneurship profile, like an administration profile. And at first, like, I knew how to do my stuff, but I didn't know how to control times, how to control people, how to control anything. So the biggest challenge for Carlos at first was to control me, and I was a diva. So because like I was coming from Canada, and nobody's gonna give me shit. So I give me beep. So Carlos had a really hard time at first, like being able to talk to clients and tell them like a straight hour and a straight this. And because we did something that was like, we were kind of pioneers in the region doing this CGI stuff. We had to explain to clients what this was. Like, this kept us afloat. Like, okay, these guys are assholes, but we have to work with them, you know? And after we started having employees, like, I started realizing how much of an asshole I was, you know? Like, basically.
Sure.
Like, you get a bunch of stuff that are like, of people that are like you, not stuff that wasn't a Freudian slip. I am just kind of drunk. After getting a bunch of people and knowing how hard it is to deal with you and getting a mirror pointed at you, you realize that you have to change and you have to start like getting a new perspective. And right now, like, we are at a point in the company where we can actually like we work with really big clients. Like, we work with the biggest gaming company in Asia. We work with a bunch of huge companies here in Mexico, some companies in the US.
You actually work with a company that's very big here and has a very special Bimbo.
Oh, yeah. Like,
can I tell you, it's a funny, in Spanish, Bimbo means a slut. But
oh, yeah, in English it does.
But my grandmother's from Merida, my dad's from Merida, my aunt's from Merida. So I grew up with Pan Bimbo. Wow. And to actually see it here and to hear that you're making that little bear move is just the coolest thing.
I didn't make the connection. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Tell me, what have been some of your favorite projects that you've worked on?
Okay, so we've done this project with Panditas that is like gummy bears.
Fun.
They're really fun. Like, these guys are always so hype about everything that it's really fun. And we have actually had like a bunch of really cool projects that we were working in a project for the ads for YouTube for the Games of Thrones game in the this Asia company. Like, winter is coming, like, you should buy it. No, it's not a buy game. If I'm to be honest, like, right now, the project that I feel more passionate about is the company. Like, I it's been 10 years since we made our first company and went broke and got like a huge debt and then paid it with the new company. And like, it's been 4 or 5 years of the new company, and we went to Mexico and to Mexico City, and we went to US, and we've been like, we got some awards and stuff.
Amazing.
Right now, like, the challenge of getting the company going and getting like awards and getting like cool projects and just getting like new employees that are so excited about everything and are so responsible and giving them a framework to minimize their weaknesses and maximize their strengths. This thing, like, I love it. Like, I really love it.
This podcast is sponsored by me and Collage Dream. Visit collagedream.com to get your monthly subscription on collage kits filled with curated ephemera and collage material from my book hoardings, New York City bookstores, and my travels. You get everything you need, from adhesive to cardboard, confetti to a prompt to get you started, or go further, and join in on a collage therapy session. Join in on a group or schedule a private session and really get your thoughts in order and your creativity flowing. CollageDream.com, the only door to my studio.
That's so exciting to hear you talk, because I hear you as an artist and now I hear you as a business person.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, people have this idea that you have to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. But I love how you've managed to blend both of them together.
You don't. Like, in my free time, I like my dogs. I freaking love my dogs. Like, they are so much easier to communicate than 20-something year olds. Like,
I'll edit that part too. For your sake.
The people at the office know they love them. Guys, if you hear this, I love you. But I love my dogs. I love training my dogs and like just being with them. And I love like drawing. It's been a couple of months since I drew the last time. But I love like making my own charcoal and picking the branches.
Okay, wait a minute. Right. I heard this story. Someone was telling me, yes, I have a crazy brother or I have a crazy husband. Someone was telling me something.
Oh, yeah.
He makes his own charcoal.
Oh, what? Yeah.
How did this happen?
No, it's not that hard. It's just like, it's too expensive, the other charcoal, the one you buy at the store. And it gets overpriced because it's an import product.
Where do you get your...
just vines.
Vines of what?
Of either like the thing that you make wine with, olive, like it's not olive, it's like
grapes.
Grapes, okay. Yeah, like the grape tree, or a apple tree, or a sauce. I don't know what's
the name. I don't know
what
the hell that is either.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's another business coming up.
Willow. Yeah, it's Willow.
Wow.
Oh, it just came.
There you
That's
go.
The white wine, fighting the red wine, you know? So, I said, okay, we don't have apple tree, we don't have grapes, because 2 centimeters from the sun, you know? but we have willow. So I went and cut it some willow.
Did you Google this?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, isn't that incredible?
Yeah,
okay. Like, you don't have to learn Arabic to figure out the recipe.
Like the time when I was learning CGI, like now I have YouTube, you know?
That's amazing.
You have this amazing verb.
That's amazing. Yeah, exactly. It's a verb. Listen, before I let you go, because when I interview people, I have an idea of where it's going to go, and then it goes completely different.
This went everywhere.
And this has gone everywhere, but there's a very big family component to this conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, if or when you have your own children, what are some of the things that you want to give your children that will be inherited from their grandparents?
Oh man, I mean, this is a big question because, you know, the first thing is like, you know what you don't want them to inherit, you know? Like,
that's always easier to
easier, right? Because you don't want them to inherit your fears, for sure.
Wow.
Your insecurities. So you're the worst judge of yourself. And this thing I always talk it out with Carlos and my associate. Tell him like, okay, tell me straight, like, what do you think about this or about that? Because I know that I'm a really bad judge of myself. Like, history has told me as much. I think what I would like my children to inherit is my sense of curiosity and like my sense of family, you know? And this thing, like, it doesn't go into the... Like, it's a human thing. This social thing, this gregarious thing, it's a human thing. But it doesn't come into the DNA. Like, you have to live it. You have to miss it. To be able... Like, I'm sure my dad missed it when he was in Mexico. I surely missed it when I was away and I came back to it. I mean, like, nobody thought I was going to get married. Every friend that I had, everyone I knew, thought I wasn't going to get married. And I met the perfect girl in one weekend.
And that was kind of a sense of curiosity,
man.
As well, right? I mean, that's another love story that is in this family that I love hearing as well. You kind of re-met her in another person's love story,
story? We were neighbors when we were kids, but we didn't notice each other.
Like, or you didn't notice her.
Yeah, I'm sure she noticed me. I was an Adonis from birth. So,
stop the wine.
So, yeah, like, I went to my...
Dear listeners, she's actually in the room, so yeah, this conversation is very much thought out.
But I'm a bit inebriated, and to tell you the truth,
It's like, all true, right?
Yeah, it's all true. Like, she knows it. She knows I love her, like, more than anything in the world. So, I was looking for home. Like, I was looking for home and she was home.
Wow.
I came here when I was 14. I went to Canada when I was 18. I traveled all around until I was 25. And after 5 years of just, like, going around and dating around and just like being me and being like really self-centered,
which is a part of what you have to do.
Yeah, it's a part of growing, you know. Exactly. Like, you have to be self-centered. If you're not self-centered before you're married, you're gonna be self-centered after you're married. Like,
might as well get
get it out before, you know. So After a while, like, when I was in Canada, I identified, like, a lot of stuff that I didn't like about myself. And we were talking about it the other day. Like, I feel very comfortable in my skin when I'm in Latin America. When I was in Canada, I felt subconscious just because I was Mexican. And this is a huge thing, like, because Canadians are really tolerant. Like, they are not the ones telling you that. TV is the one telling you that, and the culture, and like what you hear every day is the one, like, that tells you that, you know.
I can relate.
Yeah, of course. So I came here and, like, I was doing really fine. Nobody thought I was gonna marry it ever, and I made Maria Camila in, like, that's a really novela, like, soap opera. Name, huh?
Maria Camila.
Maria Camila.
Can I tell you, my name is Luis. Here in Mexico, I am Luis Alberto.
Oh, Luis Alberto. That's
my
really
middle name.
Telenovela.
Well,
thing, huh?
I was named after a character in Los Ricos También Lloran. The rich also cry.
I'm just Esteban because my parents wanted to scold me and congratulate me with the same name.
Well, we'll give you one. Juanito. Esteban Juanito. So, really quick to end the story, you met her at your sister's wedding.
Yeah, I met her. In a weekend, like, she came to Cancun. Really, really cliche, you know? We were in Cancun in a wedding. And she looked really hot, like, and there's no way around it. She looked, like, really hot. So the first night,
person that you've seen all your life but never noticed until.
I saw her before.
Listen, my brother. Yeah, you're a man. We're men. I get it.
You know, it was before the curves. Like, I saw her before the curves, and then I saw her again after the curves.
I understand.
And I just saw her, and it was like, okay, I'm gonna sit next to her, and like, you know me, like, I can talk to whatever with whatever, like, and say whatever.
Correct.
So I started talking to her, and, like, the whole weekend, not one freaking kiss. Can you believe it?
Good for Maria Camila.
Not one freaking kiss. And then I took the time to change her flight so she could be in Merida for a week. And I told myself, I'm going to score this week. And not one kiss in the whole freaking week. I took her.
I heard you tried, though.
Oh, I tried so hard. And, like, at some point, like, I just, like, we were in this club that Latin music, and she dances like the devil, and I get away with dancing just because I'm the Latin guy, And in Mexico and in Canada, like, I just, like, if I step into somebody, I can say, like, it's your fault. Like, it doesn't matter. But she just is, like, all knees and feet and hips and everything. And, like, I'm like, oh, fuck, what's going on? So I'm like, okay, let's go away from the dance floor and let's get you into the world space outside with the moon and the stars and the Latin lover theme. And I'm like, just like, it went really bad. Like, I went for the kiss and she went back and we were like 1 centimeter away with this potty face, like in my face, in her face, it was just like bewilderness. And I'm just like, and she's like, what are you doing? And what do you do with a potty face that it's like obviously a kissy face? And like, oh, nothing. And it's like, were you trying to kiss me? And I'm like, no.
Have you turned this into a CGI? I would love to see this as a cartoon.
Man,
oh my
god, it's really expensive. My company doesn't have that kind of money.
That's fascinating.
So we like after that, like I was really frustrated. I had, you know, some anatomy in some color. So after a while, like after a couple of days, she went to airport. I went with her. Oh, it's worthy to say that I took her from Cancun to Playa del Carmen, which is not near, and like we were like we got lost. My cousin and I, we were taking her and her sister. My cousin was kind of in love with her sister. And
are they married now?
No, they're not. They broke up.
It doesn't work out for everybody.
No, it doesn't. It's like one in a million.
Well, so, that's right.
Yeah, we are the million.
I love
so, so we took her to Playa del Carmen. Like, actually, it's really funny because we were asking for direction and they were like so breathtaking and so beautiful that when we parked next to two drunken guys to ask for directions and we were like, hey, where is Playa del Carmen? They were just like, you're so beautiful. Like, literally, that was what they said. Like, so, yeah. And after that trip, we went to Mérida and we were, like, really tired. And we got stopped by police officers and they thought my cousin had marijuana in the back. And I thought my cousin had marijuana in the bag. So I grabbed the bag with the police officer. And my cousin knew he didn't have marijuana. So I was like, this is my bag. And my cousin was like, this is mine. And I was like, this is mine. And it must have been the craziest scene for the police officer. Like, two cousins fighting for a bag that may or may not have marijuana. You know? So we came to Mérida and they came after and then like all this happened and then I took her to the airport and I was like, okay, we have to keep in contact, but please give me a kiss. And she gave me like the poorest kiss ever. Like, it was awful.
The feminist in me wants to say, go Camila.
No, come on. Like, it was awful. And I wasn't used to that, you know.
I wasn't used to that.
No, you know, like, I know how to talk. I'm easy to look at. So it's, you know. So yeah.
All I see right now is CGI character.
Oh, come on. Like, I'm older than I was at that point, you know. Like, I was a swimmer. So at that point, like, we left it at, okay, we're gonna talk. Like, and we talked for about 2 months and I couldn't call her any longer and I went to visit her to Bogota. We met in Bogota and my cousin and her sister too, actually. And like there, like, I was like, okay, I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with you. She was like, ah, now you won't. So 2 months after that, I went to her mom and I told her, like, hey, I'm taking your daughter to live like there with me. Oh no, she came for 3 months. Like, yeah.
To be with you or just to hang
out? To be with me. Like, uh-huh. Well, it would have been really insulting if she came just to be here. So she came to be with me and I just fell, how do you say, head over heels.
Correct.
For her, yeah. And she wasn't only like a looker, like she, like that's a really 70s expression, like no, it's 50s. Like,
and now she works in the company.
Yeah, she works. No, because she's part of the family. She has always been like, she was like a friend, like one of the best friends of my sister's
growing
from the start. You know, like if we were to be divorced at some point, I don't think that's gonna happen. I hope it's not gonna happen. My sister will take her side.
Of course.
Like, they really love her. And that was really important to me. Like, that's what I'm saying when I was looking I wanted to be home, and she's home. She's absolutely home. And for me, that's the most important thing. Like, when I'm with her, I'm with my childhood, and I'm with my family, and I'm with everything that I love. And this is why we got married after 6 months of meeting each other, you know? And we've been together for 6 years, and I couldn't be happier. I hope she couldn't be happier. I don't know, because I'm really hard to be with, but...
I love that.
Yeah.
And it fits so well into your family story.
Yeah, no, I got the perfect love story. Like, I'm really in love with this girl.
You really do. I'm in love with the story. You guys are amazing. I mean, and we can talk forever, but we have to go for Korean.
Before
they close. So
I have to go to a bathroom too.
Well, listen, this will officially be called the drunk episode. Esteban, dear listeners, thank you for sitting with me and having a glass of wine.
Luis, whenever you want, I can get a glass of wine.
I appreciate that. And I will call you and I will be recording. So,
okay.
Thank you.
That's it. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this conversation, please leave a review on iTunes. It goes a long way. Follow me on Instagram at @artengineer and send me your email or follow the show at StuConPodcast. Please share this episode with anyone who might benefit from this conversation. Remember, you are the flame that can ignite 1,000 candles. I am Luis Martin, the art engineer, sharing with you what moves me. Thank you.